the importance of hearing God's voice and knowing God's voice. It's a scary subject for some people, and it's with reason. There have been strange things that have happened even in our own country. I'm sure there's some stories you can tell where people would do ludicrous things, and what they would say is God told them to do it. And you might say, well, you know, that's a schizophrenic that'll say that he hears voices from God, and they claim they're from God and tell him to do really strange things and things that are against the scripture. And so then the effect that it can have to us as Christians is that we don't want to ever be caught saying, God told me, or I feel that God wants, because it sort of has a notion with it that you're like, woohoo, you know, you're out there on the loopy side. But when you stop and think about it, does God not want to talk to his children? We go clear back to creation, and he created all the animals, the sea, the dry, everything that he created, the beauty of it. And then he created man. And it says, along about Genesis 2, it probably is somewhere in there, that God would come down in the cool of the day to commune with Adam and Eve, to have that communication with them, to talk with them, is what we like to think happened there. And God wanted to do that because God wanted them to hear his voice, and he wanted to hear their voice. And it's the same way today. We should desire to want to hear God's voice, but we become very overly careful with that because of things that people have done in the past. And I'll put this in right here. And this is a teaching. I'm gonna share the word with you this morning, but this is just a little teaching note here. You need to be very careful when you talk with people about using this phrase and saying, God told me. Now, if you're repeating something from the scripture, God told you. He told all of us. It's right here. But when it comes to other things in your life, if you're saying, God told me I should do this or that, you need to be careful with that. Because if it wasn't God that told you to do whatever it is that you're about to say, then you're making God to be a liar. And God don't take that lightly. Even you as a parent, you wouldn't want your children going out and telling other kids or other people, my dad or my mom said such and so. When you never said it and it gets back to you that your child went out and told somebody that you said something you didn't say, what's that do to you? That upsets you. You'll say, listen, son, listen, daughter. I don't know where you got the thought that I said this or that this is the way that I wanted it to be done, because I never said that to you. You would have a little talk with them. And so we can think in these terms. And with God, I believe it's the same way. He looks down at his children. He's proud of his children. He loves us. But when we start saying God said, we better make sure that God said it. Now, so what's it better to do? It's better to say, I feel that God wants me to, whatever it is, you fill in the blank. In the same way with your child, if your child would do that to one of his friends or people that he's talking to, I feel that my father would want me to do thus and so. And that word gets back to you, you're going to feel okay about that. You're not going to be upset with that kid. But when they start putting words in your mouth, that gets a little bit like, you better be careful there, young man or young lady. And I believe it's the same way with God. Now, if there's no doubt in your mind, if you heard an audible voice from God, and we're going to get into this here in just a little bit of time, that can still happen today. It usually doesn't. That's different. But when you can say, God said, I can say, God, Jesus said, unless you're born again, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. That's okay, because it's written in his word. I'm just repeating what he says in his word. That's okay. But when it comes to other things, there are people. There was a woman in the state of Texas some years ago, and this is a little graphic, and it's really sad, that she drowned her children, and it was more than one child. I think it was 3 or 4 children. She drowned them in her bathtub, and they asked her why she did that. She said, God told me to do it. God's not going to tell you to kill your children. That goes against his word in here, thou shalt not kill. But maybe she was a schizophrenic. That gets into some mental health issues that people have. But there have been people that have done weird things in this life claiming that God told them to do it. So God does speak to us today. So what I'm driving at is it doesn't change the fact that God wants to talk to you today, just like you want to talk to your children. Is there ever a day that goes by? If you're not around them, that's different. But if you're around your children, is there a day that goes by that when you're around your children, you don't have one word to say to them? Nothing. They would think, wow, is mom upset with me? Is dad upset with me? If the grandparents are around, then don't say one word to that child. You would think that something was wrong. So God wants to speak to us. We are his children. He talks to us in many ways. He speaks to us in many ways. Now, more than likely, we don't hear him in an audible voice, but at times in the Bible, God spoke directly to his people in an audible voice. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, he spoke to, he was a young child then, he was a young boy. God spoke to Samuel in an audible voice. He called his name out, Samuel, Samuel. And he thought it was the priest Eli that was calling to him. And he would go running to him. What is it that you want? Because he was there to serve in the temple. And he would go running to him and say, what is it that you want? So God spoke to Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3 in an audible voice where Samuel heard that voice. In Exodus chapter 3, God spoke to Moses out of a burning bush. He was out in the backside of the desert. There was a bush that was on fire. And they say that it was common for that to happen in the desert because of the heat. A bush that was dry just would all of a sudden combust and it would be burning. And so that wasn't an odd thing for Moses to see a burning bush, so I'm told. But this one caught his attention because it wasn't consumed. He could see the bush there, but it wasn't consumed. I've been to structure fires over my life belonging to the local fire department, and you get to some of those campfires, and when you get there, the whole thing is involved in flames, and you can see the frame of the camp standing there, but it's consumed, because you can't get a fire like that out before it's consumed, and it collapses in, and you just have a pile of rubble there. And so Moses, he's seen this bush, he's seen it in that fire, but that bush wasn't consumed. And then God talked to him out of that bush. There was a voice that came out of that bush. So God did that for Moses. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and 12, he spoke to Elijah. And how did he speak to Elijah? It wasn't by an earthquake. It wasn't by a great wind, but it was with a still, small voice. And I believe today that's how God speaks to us many times. It's not necessarily by an earthquake. God can speak by ways of nature, by things happening in nature that cause a lot of destruction. God just might be talking to us. Every time a hurricane hits, I don't believe it's God's judgment on our country, but there could be times that it is. And there are many people and men of God, so-called men of God, that when a hurricane or destruction comes to America by means of some of these fires that burn in the West and go on and consume all the land and these hurricanes and tornadoes that come in, there are so many people, preachers and men of God, that are quick to stand up and say that that's the judgment of God. They better be careful saying that unless God told them that's his judgment. They need to be very careful. It's safe to say that this could possibly be God dealing with us and talking to us, and regardless if it is or not, that's going to get men's hearts turning towards God. But some will stand up and say, hey, this happened, and I was talking to God about it, and God told me this is his sign. He's sending destruction to us because of his rejection. They better be speaking the truth, because God doesn't take that lightly if they stand up and say, God told me. We need to be very careful with that. But God spoke to Elisha. It wasn't by an earthquake. It wasn't by a great wind. But it was that still small voice within him. And so God can speak with an audible voice. He can speak with an audible voice, but that's not usually how it happens today. What's an audible voice? You listening to my voice right now, this is an audible voice, a voice that you can hear. God doesn't usually speak that way. Can speak that way. I think of a time that in the Bible there was a prophet that was disobeying God, and he was just going to do what he was going to do, and he was being stubborn, and his mule, his donkey, turned around and talked to him in an audible voice that he could understand. So you might say that was the angel of God speaking through that animal to that prophet of God. So God, what would you do if your dog talked to you? What would you do? You'd come in here and tell me that. I'd be like, okay, what did you eat before you went to bed? What kind? Maybe you need to go get some kind of medicine if you think your dog's talking to you. But things like that can happen. It's not common, but it can happen. God can speak in an audible voice. And so he's the same God today as he was back then. So if he could speak to people in a voice that they could hear back then, he can still do it. Now he can speak in an audible voice. But how does God speak to us today, generally speaking? Because we're talking about hearing God's voice. God speaks to his people through events. Through events. There's signs, there's dreams, there's wonders, there's visions. Did you ever have a dream that troubled you? A dream that was so vivid and so real, and it's not because of any kind of medication you were taking. It was just like, I don't know where that came from, and it troubles you, and you think about it. In the Old Testament, there was a king that had a vision, and he had a dream, and it was a famine. It was going to come on the land, and he couldn't understand this dream and this vision that he had, but it was God talking to him, warning him that there's hard times coming for your country, and there's going to be 7 years of plenty, and it's going to be followed by 7 years of famine, so you need to prepare for it. God can speak to us today. God is not, I don't believe, if we're really listening to the voice of God, there's nothing that is going to take us by complete surprise where we're going to be like, where did that come from? We need to be in tune with God's voice. And we're going to get to some scripture here in a little bit, so don't get nervous about that. So in the Bible, signs were given many times. There were signs given. How was God speaking to his people? The children of Israel, when they left Egypt, I don't think they were all so certain that this was really God, that this Moses, this guy, how's he gonna take care of us? They weren't convinced by that, but God sent them a sign because they weren't out of the land of Egypt very long, and they were in between two mountains. There was a large mountain. One on this side, one on that side, and there was the Red Sea in front of them, and there was Pharaoh's army, because he had a change of heart again, and he was pursuing after them. He was going to wipe them out. He was going to destroy them, and God spoke to them and gave them a sign that this is his plan, that God is going to be faithful to them, because we've all heard the story, the parting of the Red Sea. The Red Sea opened up, and they was able to cross that Red Sea on dry ground. They got to the other side. Pharaoh's army was in the middle of that Red Sea, pursuing hot after them, and the sea came over them, and they died in that sea. That was God speaking to them by a sign. And so there could be signs that happen that God speaks to us. And dreams and visions, they're throughout the Bible. Dreams and visions. Thank God that they're real. John the Revelator, he gave us the book of Revelation because God gave him a vision. And he says, I want you to write these things that you're going to see, these things that you're going to hear. Put them down into descriptive words. So God talks to us through that way. So to hear from God, well, how are we going to hear from God today? How are we going to know what God's voice is? Amen. The sheep of my pasture, they know me. They know me. They know my voice. They follow me. Another they will not follow. That's scripture. So to hear from God, you have to pursue God. You have to go after God. You have to chase God. You have to seek God. All of a sudden, some of us will have issues in life, and then we want the church to pray, and we pray ourselves, and we think that somehow miraculously we're going to hear this voice from heaven, and we're just going to know exactly what we should do. But before we had the problem or situation, we didn't have much of a desire to even know God. And then that's why we can't hear from God. To hear from God's voice, you have to want to hear from God. You have to pursue him. You have to go after him. You have to seek him. And Jeremiah 29:13, amen, it says this in so many words. If you will seek me and find me, it says you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. There are times that we are desperate in our lives to receive direction from God, to know what way we should go, what should we do. We need to hear God's voice. And in Jeremiah 29:13, he says, if you seek me, you're going to find me, and you're going to find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I just need to hear from God. I need an answer from heaven. And perhaps you never faced a situation like that in your life where you're perplexed about something and you want an answer, and you'll go to this one, you'll go to that one, and you'll talk to this one, and you'll talk to that one, and there's just an unrest down in your soul and in your spirit. You can take those kinds of things to God. Amen. You got to take them to go to God with all of your heart. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says this: God rewards those who diligently seek Him. You diligently seek Him. You're serious about seeking Him. God will reward you. God will speak to you. God will talk to you. Proverbs 8:17 says this: those who will seek Me will find Me. Are you seeking God today? Are you hearing God's voice today? The scripture says in Proverbs, those who will seek Me will find Me. Have you ever had that still small voice down inside of you, and you just know that it was God talking to you, God giving you direction, God giving you a peace in your heart and your mind? Psalms chapter 14 and verse 2 says this: the Lord looks down from heaven, and as He looks down from heaven, He's looking to see if any understand and if there's any who will seek God. Is there any who will seek God today? We tend not to seek God. We have so many helps available with whatever situation or crisis that you're facing in your life. And I'm not saying God doesn't want us to reach out to these different things, but God wants us to reach out to Him. Amen. Is there any that seek God? And I believe God was looking, and we looked at that last week. We was looking at Noah, and the world was exceedingly wicked, and it was getting worse and worse, and God searched through the whole land, and He found one man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and that was Noah. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and I believe God is seeking to and fro in the earth today, and He's looking for a people that will seek Him, a people that want direction from Him, a people that will follow Him in the way that He leads them, because we're in trouble. Amen. This world is in trouble. And as things get worse and worse, even in the country that we're living, even though we're children of God, it's going to have an effect upon us. Amen. God will take care of us. He will sustain us. But we'll feel the effects of these things too. And the Lord, He looks down from heaven. Is there any that understand? Is there any that are seeking Me? Does anybody really want Me? Does anybody really care? Is anybody really concerned about their spiritual condition? And that's where we come in, and it's fitting. And we sing songs like this that helps us get in thinking in that way. Sometimes we get a little bit stirred up, but we really don't take that change that we need to take. And what's that song? This needs to be a song of our heart. God, more of You, more of You. I've had it all, but what I need is more of You, more of You, more of You. I've had it all, but what I need is more of You. And I hope that is the desire of your heart today, is to receive more of God, to accept Jesus as your Savior. That's oh so very important. You must do that. But I want more than just to have Him as my Savior. I want Him to be my friend. I want Him to be my leader. I want Him to talk to me. I want to hear His voice. When He was here upon this earth and His disciples are traveling with Him, John, the disciple, John is called John the Beloved because he was very close to Jesus. And he would lay, at one point it talked about he was laying on the chest of Jesus, on the heart of Jesus, you would say. And I believe he could hear the heartbeat of Christ. How close are you to God today? Well, God never talks to me. God never says anything to me. And we're going to look at ways that God can talk to us. And so the question comes today, do you desire more of God in your life? Or are you just very content and happy with what you have, and you don't really want any more of God in your life? Do you want more of God in your life? And if you do, what are you going to do to receive and to get more of God in your life? To know Him in a true and in a real way. We look at these different ones down through history that were really close to God. We can go back to Acts chapter 3 or 4, I believe it is, where Peter and John were going into the temple. I talk about that often. Oh, I wished I could have something like that. And we can look down through the ages, the different evangelists and the preachers that were out there, Charles Finney, and there's different ones that really did a work for God. You got your Billy Grahams, you got other ones even today that are being used mightily of God. And we look at those things, not with a jealous heart like I wish that was me, but how do people get into a place like that? Because they have learned to get into a place close with God, that they can hear the voice of God. They learn to follow the leading of the Spirit. And so what do you do do to receive more of God? The first essential thing that we must do to receive more of the Spirit of God is to read and to study the Bible. Amen. To get into the Word of God. We have Bible lessons that we do in the church here. Amen. And some of you are working on them, and we thank you for that. That's going to help you to know God a little bit better. It's nice that we come to church and can hear teaching and preaching, but you're going to have to come and hear a lot of preaching and teaching to get what you can get out of a Bible study. A Bible study is something different, but we read and we study the Bible. In my own personal reading, now I'm over in the book of Psalms, and just this week, Psalms is a quick one, so it's easy to do until you get to Psalms 150, because that has a whole lot of verses in it, or Psalms 119, I think it is. Psalms 119, that's a different one, but most of those other Psalms, you can easily do 20 chapters a day in the book of Psalms, so in 3 days, I'm through 60 chapters in the book of Psalms, and it hardly involved any of my time. And I'm not saying that. I'm only using that as an illustration to you. You need to read and study the Bible because we want to hear the voice of God. How are we going to hear? You hear the voice of God when you get into the Word of God, because this is the voice of God. This Word was God-breathed. It was God-inspired. And so we need to get into the Word of God. Amen. To receive more of God. We need to spend time in prayer. Is praying easy? Absolutely not. Praying is probably one of the most difficult things that's for any Christian to do, is to pray. You have to be very disciplined to have that time in prayer if you're going to do it daily or however you're going to set it up. There's always something else. There's always another distraction, always something more important. And then if you do get disciplined enough and you get that time of prayer, then the doorbell's ringing, the phone's ringing, somebody's texting you, the dog starts carrying on, the cat starts fighting with the dog, and the goldfish all of a sudden is floating upside down in the fish tank. And wow, there's so many distractions. There's no time to pray. The enemy of our soul doesn't want us to get close to God. But I'm talking about how you can get close to God and get more of Him. Amen. You spend time in prayer. You read. You study the Bible. And then you fellowship with people of like precious faith. That's going to help getting you on the line to be able to hear the voice of God. People that are believers like you are, you're going to fellowship with them. You're going to spend time with them in church and out of church. We are not the only Christians in Kane, PA that go to this church right here. There's a lot of Christian people in this town that we're living, and it's not wrong to fellowship with some of them. They might have some differences in doctrine, amen, from what we believe to what the Bible's saying, but that's okay. Amen. If they believe in Jesus and accept Him as their Savior, and salvation is the way to heaven, we need to fellowship with those kinds of people, amen, of like precious faith. God wants us to do these things that I just went over. God wants us to do these things, but ultimately it's up to us. It's up to me whether I read my Bible and study my Bible. It's up to me if I pray. I can't turn around at the end of the week or day and say, God, I don't know. I mean, we have no excuse for not doing it. It's up to me. I'm the one that has to do it. I can't blame God that I don't have enough time to read and study. Amen. I can't blame God that I don't take that time to pray. And so God wants us to do these things, but it's up to us whether we do it or not. And by doing these things, it's going to help us recognize the voice of God. Now, when somebody works in a bank, all they have is the real deal, the real money. They're dealing with the real money all the time. They're dealing with the real money. They're dealing with the real thing. And when the false thing comes along, they know it's false. They don't know what's wrong with it, but they know something's not right about it. And that's how God can talk to us. We get God in us. We get filled up with God. We don't have to be worrying about being let off into a false doctrine or a false cult or a false teaching, because they're going to come along. Somebody's going to come along with something. They're going to be a very charismatic person. I'm not talking about the movement. Charismatic means likable, convincing, have that attitude, that temperament about it, about them, that nobody can turn them away. Anything they say has to be right. But they're going to come along, and you're just going to know, something's not right there. I don't feel good about that. And that is hearing the voice of God. But the only way that's going to happen is if you're spending time with God, spending time within His Word. It'll help you recognize the voice of God. And here's something that we have to do, and you have to be very disciplined to do this. You have to set aside distractions of everyday living to focus on God. You have to set aside the distractions of everyday living to focus on God. You must center your attention and your heart on God. You must give Him your complete attention. You must give Him your all. You have to block everything else out. That's something that you have to do. God can't force you to do that. Amen. Your relationship with God, amen, is somewhat as your relationship with others. How's your relationship with others? Some people, the relationship with others. Now think of this, and some of us have probably all had this happen to us. You're trying to have a conversation with somebody, okay? I'll pick on my friend Bob over here, Robert. He's trying to have a conversation with me. He's talking to me. He's got something important to tell me. I'm like, yeah, but the whole time I'm like looking at this, and I look at him again, and I'm looking back at this, and I'm looking at him. What's he going to feel like when it's all over? He's going to feel like, he didn't take that as very important what I had to say to him, because he was distracted with something else when I was trying to talk to him. I had something very important I wanted to tell him, and I don't think I got the message through to him. Well, it's the same way with us and God. If we don't shut all the distractions out, God is trying to talk to us, but we're involved in this, we're involved in that. It's pulling our attention away. How do you think it makes God feel? If we can go along that line with our imagination, I think it'll just make him to the point of, I'm not going to talk to him. Just let him figure it out on their own. Maybe he's telling me something really important about some road that I'm about to travel down. A bridge might be out, or it might be icy, or there might be, you know, something detrimental going on. And he's trying to tell me, he told me, but I'm so distracted with this, I'm not hearing what he's saying. And then I go out of here and walk right into the trap that he was trying to tell me to avoid because I was distracted with something else. God speaks to us. And many times we don't listen to him, we're distracted with something else, and then we walk right into a trap that the enemy has set up for us, and then we're like, oh, God, help me, have mercy on me. And God's thinking, man, I was trying to tell you, you wouldn't listen, you wouldn't pay any attention. How frustrating it must be for the Lord, but God is merciful. God is merciful. So we do that with people, and we don't appreciate it when somebody does it to us. Don't do it to somebody else. Give them your full attention. Give God your full attention. Lord, you got my full attention. My wife tries to talk to me sometime. She'll be sitting in her chair. I'll be sitting in my chair. We're getting to be an older couple, okay? Neither one of us can hear very good, so that gets interesting. That gets real interesting. But it annoys her to no end when she's trying to talk to me and I have this in my hand and I'm just scrolling. I don't know what I'm scrolling for. I'm just scrolling. She gets, forget it, I'm not going to talk to you, you're not listening to me. I'll say, I'm listening to you. So then what do I have to do? I have to take the phone, lay it down, say, okay, now you got my attention. And sometimes by that point, she's like, no, it's not important to you, just forget it. I'm like, no, talk to me. You know how that escalates in. No, I'm not, nope, I was trying. You're not going to, we do that with God. We got to be careful that we're not treating God that way. There's so much that's vying for our attention today. I have a question. Doesn't God deserve your full attention? It's not just like an afterthought. Well, what am I going to do now? Well, I suppose I could read my Bible. I really wasn't, I guess I'll read a few scriptures here. That's not right. God deserves our full attention. So we're talking about hearing God's voice. You're not going to hear God's voice if you don't routinely focus your attention on him completely. Just shut in with God, that song that we sing, in a secret place, there in his beauty, beholding his face. God, this is your time. This is my time and your time. This is our special time together. God, I want you to talk to me. You meditate on him. You think about him. I'm not saying that has to, how many minutes it has to be, but there needs to be that time in our life where we're just focused on God. So how does God speak to us today? We won't hear God's voice if we don't routinely focus on him. We'll walk around bewildered. God speaks to us today through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Ghost. That's how he speaks to us. In the Old Testament, God spoke mostly to people from outside themselves. A prophet would come and say, thus saith the Lord, this is the way it's going to be. And you would take that message from God. And at times they would take it to heart and they would do something about it. Other times they sort of ignored it. But that's how it happened in the Old Testament. But Jesus promised something more for us today in the age and the dispensation that we're living. In John 14... He talks about the comforters coming. And in John 16, verses 12 through 15, he talks about that Holy Spirit that is going to be there to lead and to guide us. And so when Jesus was here, his followers didn't struggle to hear his voice because he was right there with them. He would say, thus and so, go do thus and so. Let's go here. Let's go there. It was easy for them to hear his voice because he was there with them. But Jesus knew he was about to go away. And as he was about to go away, it was like he realized that there was going to be a void in their life because there wasn't going to be anybody here to tell them where to go and what to do. So what he did is he sent them the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he knew that they were going to need guidance from him when he was here no more. So he sent them the Holy Spirit and he promised them everything that they would need to follow him. You can continue doing just like you should be doing as if I were here. Amen. God would and he will and he does dwell within us today by the Holy Spirit. And thank God for that. That Holy Spirit's not something to be taken lightly. That's an actual presence of God that lives on the inside of us. That's the actual presence of God that lives on the inside of you. So I don't have to have a prophet come along and say to me, thus and so, this is what you should do. This is what we need to do. That Spirit of God dwells within me. The actual presence of God is there. So I can hear God's voice. And so then, in the day that we're living, that changes everything about hearing God's voice. You don't have to go out and guess and wonder, is this really God? Is this what God wants? There was a man in the Old Testament, I think it was Gideon, and God spoke to him in an audible voice, and he knew what God wanted him to do, but yet he doubted it so much that he went back to God three times, and I think he was the one that put the fleece out before God because he wanted to be sure that voice that he heard was God's voice. We don't have to do that today. After accepting Christ as a Savior of the soul, amen, the Holy Spirit lives within us, and he leads and he guides us. That's how we hear God's voice. We don't go around today wondering, how can I connect with God? How can I connect with God? There's a lot of people that wonder how they can connect with God. They don't take it on a personal basis. They don't know that Jesus can live on the inside of them. They think they have to connect with God by going to a church somewhere, by praying to an idol, and that helps me to connect with God. It doesn't have to be that way because he dwells on the inside of us. Amen. And he is there to guide us. That's why he's on the inside of us, to guide us and to lead us. And God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. God speaks to us through the Bible. He tells us how to live life the way that he wants us to live. This is the way that you should live. He gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. And then they run over into the New Testament. They didn't drop off. God made it very easy for us. Some people refer to this as a roadmap to heaven, how to get to God. It's written right here. You don't have to guess about it. Amen. You don't have to guess about it. He dwells within you. Amen. You can connect to God through his word. You want to know the mind of God. You want to know the voice of God. Get into the word of God, and you'll see how God works. And so he tells us how to live life the way that he desires us to live. He speaks to us by unction. Today he speaks to us by unction. Now we're talking about hearing the voice of God. What's that unction? There's a prompting of the Holy Spirit within me. John 14, 26. Amen. We better read at least one scripture, lest somebody go from here and say, man, that preacher man down there didn't even share any scripture today. John chapter 14 and verse 26, he speaks to us by unction, and it says this, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, the same, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He speaks to us by unctions, a prompting of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's how God speaks to us today. You can go out of here and you can do anything that you want to do. You have the power and the ability to do that. I could go out here and kill somebody today if I wanted to, but that Holy Spirit within me is going to stop me. He's going to say, no, thou shalt not kill. We're going to know it's not the right thing to do, and he's there to prompt us and to guide us. That's how he speaks to us. Did you ever get an uneasy feeling about something? That's how God leads us. In the classical example that we like to give on that, and it has happened to many people, but it can work in many other areas of your life. Somebody's about to do something, you're about to go somewhere, and all of a sudden they just feel like inside, no, I shouldn't do that. And it's not something sinful. They're going to travel from Cain to another one of the cities near us, another one of the towns near us, and they just feel like, I shouldn't do that. But yet they and then if they don't do it, then they'll hear, well, there was an accident down that road. Now, I want to tell you, and this is a strange thing. People don't understand stuff like this, but God talks today. Pastor Eastman, the former pastor of this church here, he was a very young child. I think he might have been 5 years old, maybe just a little bit older. I don't think he was younger than that. Him and his parents were away on a Saturday night somewhere, and I believe they came up here to Cain, and his father was a farmer, and so they didn't get out much, and they went to a friend's house and were talking and just having coffee, so on and so forth. And so his father was always one that never stayed anywhere very long, and he said, well, he goes, I think we need to get going. And Pastor Eastman, his parents testified to this. He was just a young child, but God spoke through him. He said to his parents, they wanted them to have another cup of coffee, and they said, no, we're going. And the pastor said, he wasn't pastor then, he said, you need to stay for another cup of coffee. If we leave now, there's going to be a terrible accident. What are you going to do? Kids 5 years old. They didn't heed that, but it was God talking to them. They proceeded. They went home, but they never made it home. And he lost one of his younger brothers in a terrible accident down near the village of Ludlow before they got home that night. Where did that come from? That was God talking to his parents through him. So we as parents, if your child comes out and just says something like the example I just gave, that's like, that's weird stuff. That's like, ugh. You know, most scary stuff. Maybe sometimes we need to take heed and pay attention, because God can speak to us in many ways. Now, his parents are both gone now, but after the fact, they could see that they don't understand that. I myself can't explain that, but that happened. And I don't know at the time, per se, if he was even one that had accepted Christ as a Savior, but God cares about people. God speaks to people in strange ways. I've had people tell me and talk to me, and being the fruit inspector, people that aren't even Christian people have had what they called encounters with God, where just strange things happened and they felt they shouldn't do something or should do something. And then after the fact, they could see that God was in it. God talks in that way. But God speaks to us by unction. The Spirit teaches us and helps us to remember what God has done for us in the past. The Holy Spirit in you will prompt you to do the right thing. You can continue to ignore it, but you're going to feel a pulling like, this ain't right. Do you ever do something that you knew it wasn't right, and as you're doing it, you just have this other side of you like, no, don't do it. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to do it. No, don't do it. That can be the Holy Spirit working within us, talking to us. Amen. Striving with us. Amen. To turn away from certain things. So we have these internal promptings of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Those internal promptings of the Holy Spirit can prompt you to share this message of salvation with somebody. It could be somebody that you see all the time and you never feel the urgency to share the salvation story with them, the plan of salvation. You never feel the urgency to do that, but all of a sudden one day there's just something that comes over you like, I have to say something to them. And there's been testimonies both ways where they have said something and the person has accepted Christ, and it wasn't long after that that they met their death. And then the other side of that, there have been people that have felt promptings to, all of a sudden a strong feeling comes over them, you gotta say something, and they don't say something, and within hours, that person that they felt prompted to say something to died in a tragedy without Christ. That's the voice of God speaking to us, the promptings of the Holy Spirit. They can just come over to you, and that's how they do. They come to you suddenly and unannounced. I need to do something different. Pastor Eastman, I think this happened to him too. He was traveling somewhere one day. And it involves some people that lived out on Route 66. And the long and short of the story is, he was heading out somewhere and he felt a prompting. I need to go there. I need to turn my car around and go to that house. I don't know why I need to go there. And when he got there, their place was on fire. The fire department was there. That was God speaking to him. Nobody called him on a cell. They didn't have cell phones. He didn't get no text message, no nothing. He just felt that urgency. He wasn't even thinking about him. You got it. You need to get there. You need to go to their house. And he went, and he was there where God wanted him to be. God speaks to us in that way. God does that today. God wants you to know his voice. Do you think God wants to keep his voice secret? He wants to communicate with us. He wants us to communicate with him. And so I'm going to keep it a mystery. And I'm going to talk to you just to see if you think it's me. No, God wants us to know his voice. Amen. Through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Ghost in the Bible, that Holy Ghost that's within us. Amen. He'll teach us to know his voice. There are many Christians wondering what God is saying or wondering if God even speaks at all. You shouldn't wonder what God is saying. You shouldn't wonder if God is even speaking at all. Ask yourself, what distracts you from hearing God's voice? Why aren't we hearing God's voice today? Why aren't we getting direction from God? Why aren't we getting unctions from the Holy Spirit? Amen. And we're just going to look at some things here in closing this morning. Your life is full, and my life is full of things and people that want my attention. I'm not talking about sinful things. Just, I got to do this. I got to get up. I got to get ready for work. I got to go to work. I have to focus my attention there. My children have needs. I got to focus my attention there. And then the kids get homework in school, and they come home, and you got to help them with that. There's things that are just vying for all of our attention. It happens. Life is full. It's busy. Amen. Of things and people that want your attention. Many times, it's just everyday living. And we fail to realize that these things are competing for us to hear God's voice. Those things that you have to do every day could possibly be stopping you from hearing God's voice. We got to be conscientious. God wants to talk to us every day. God, speak to me today. Be open to the mind of the Spirit. Be open to the unctions and the moving of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost within your heart. Amen. And God will speak to you. Amen. Amen. God will do that. It's the busyness of life. The busyness of life. And we shared this example here many times. There was a service, and I was here. It was on a Sunday night, and Sister Grandma Larson was here. And every once in a while, right when the preaching was going on, she'd stand up and she'd say, Pastor, I'm so sorry, but I have such a burden. I need to pray. And she came down over here on this side, and she was just weeping and wailing and praying before God. Sorry that she had to do it, but she couldn't get away from it. And Pastor would be like, that's okay, Sister. You just pray. Take care of that situation. She had received the prompting from the Holy Spirit that she needed to pray. She didn't know what it was about. And then the next day on the news, and it was about exactly the same time and same minute. I believe it was over the state of Michigan. There was a big airliner up in the sky, and it was plummeting towards the ground. And they didn't know why it was. They couldn't do anything, couldn't get no control of it. And it was at that exact moment that she felt, I need to pray. And she prayed. Now, I'm not saying that that was the situation, but more than likely it was that all of a sudden they just got control of that thing and everything was all good and that burden that she had lifted. God talks in that way. You might get a prompting to pray about a situation or something that you're not even sure. Pray about it. I might come mind real heavy all of a sudden. Pastor Tom's on my mind. Oh, I've got to pray. There's something's not right there. God can do that in the family of God. That's how God talks to us. Let God speak to you. But the busyness of life stops us from hearing the voice of God. Amen. There's common distractions that we all deal with. We have full schedules. We're always trying to do more. People tell you to slow down and enjoy the important things like family, to enjoy rest, to enjoy a relationship with God. So what happens? The days go by and we're receiving or we're going from one thing to another. We're racing from one thing to another. And we fall into bed at night with the intent of praying. But all of a sudden we just fall asleep. Sorry, God, I didn't have time to pray today. And yet we want to hear the voice of God. We got to make God a priority in our life. Busyness will not allow us to slow down long enough to hear God's voice. Busyness will not allow you to slow down long enough to hear God's voice. You have to purposely slow down. There was a pastor in one of our churches years ago, and he lived up in the city of Erie, and he worked in a steel mill where they formed iron or whatever, steel, and it was a very hard, hot job. And he would get up about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning so he could spend an hour in prayer and Bible reading before he would go to work every morning, because he knew when that day was done, he was going to be so whipped and so tired, it wasn't going to happen. He was purposely seeking God. And there's outside influences that stop us from getting into that place with God. We have full schedules. We have full minds. Outside influences, and I'm not going to spend a long time on it because I already did. This is an outside influence that distracts us from hearing the voice of God. Not everything that you see on here, even if it's religious, is God's way of talking to you. We need to lay these things aside sometimes. Amen. Because it takes energy for your brain to process all of this stuff that I look at and you look at. Your mind can only take so much in. God wants to get a word in edgewise, but he can't, because he's got to jump in somewhere between the moment that I leave here before I get home and flip this thing on again. We got to take time for God. Amen. God's voice is competing for your attention today. Amen. There's a constant stream of messaging. It can be a distraction from hearing God's voice. Not all things that we hear bring us closer to God. Not all things that we see on here bring us closer to God. We need to be careful. And the last thing I have here is our behaviors and attitudes. Amen. Our choices drown out God's voice in our life. The choices that we make, amen, the choices that we make, they drown that out, the attitudes and the habits. They lead us away from God. We don't even notice that we're getting away from God. Our attitudes. What are you talking about, attitudes? They stop you from hearing God's voice. Here's things that will stop you from hearing God's voice and let God speak to your heart. Jealousy, unthankfulness, bitterness, a critical spirit, they're all going to hinder you from hearing God's voice. Critical spirit's a big one. What's that? Nothing's ever right. You just scrutinize the move that everybody's making, and they shouldn't do this, and they shouldn't do that. Why does the pastor do this? Why does the pastor do that? And it needs to be different, and that wasn't quite right the way that he said it. Critical spirit can hinder you from hearing God's voice. Jealousy can stop you from hearing God's voice. Having an unthankful heart, bitterness, bitter about a happening, that something that happened in your life, and the world would say, you have every right to be bitter. I can understand why you're bitter, but that can stop you from hearing God's voice. Amen. We have to get these things out of our heart. Amen. We have to be willing to follow God. And then the last thing that can cause us to not hear God's voice is apathy. And this is where I think we all fall into danger. You might not have an issue with any of the rest, but what's apathy? Doing nothing. Doing nothing can keep you from hearing God's voice. I don't read my Bible. I don't pray. I don't have a concern for the lost. I'm just caught up in my circle of life and things I have to do. I provide for my family. That can lead to a place where you don't hear from God. It's a lack of concern. Apathy is a lack of concern. It's a lack of concern towards godly things. I'm not too concerned about it. I know I'm saved. That's all that matters. I don't need all this other stuff. You're less likely to pay attention to how God is speaking to you if you're just passive about it. How loud, and I'm closing with this, how loud does God have to speak to you for you to hear? Can he speak to you in that still small voice? You just have that unction within. Oh Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. Or does it go clear to the other extreme? And this does happen at times, and we express it this way. Do you have to be laid out on the flat of your back in a hospital bed, all busted up or some terrible sickness overtaking you, and then you're like, God, what are you trying to say to me? It don't have to be to that extreme. It can be, oh, to be so tender before God. It wouldn't be a disturbance to me if somebody here would get a burden, even when I'm sharing, and just come up, Pastor, I'm sorry. I mean, don't make a big scene, but I just got to pray. That's all right. Pray. You go ahead and pray. That still small voice is speaking to me. God is speaking to us today. Amen. And so I'm going to ask Sister Bonnie come down to the piano here this morning. And let's stand to our feet. I pray that you desire to hear God's voice. Well, I'm not hearing God's voice. Are you listening? We could sing that one, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. When he calls for me, I will answer. When he's, I don't know all the words to that. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. When he calls